Welcome to the Jazz Funeral School Podcast, episode number 217.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome back to the Jazz Piano School Podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. I'm your host as always. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. Now, I feel rejuvenated. I just came back. We went to Yellowstone. We drove around. We saw amazing, amazing things. It's just incredible. Nature is incredible, right? Bears, moose. What else we saw? Just like so many deer. Just gorgeous areas in Yellowstone. If you haven't been, I highly recommend it because your perspective changes. Like when you get out into these expansive places in nature, like on Earth, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable. So this is what happens every time I go away, is that I go away, I get refreshed, and by the end of the trip, I'm like, all right, I start feeling antsy to get back to work. I actually love working, right? So I start feeling antsy, and I'm like, you know, because there's things I want to fix. I like fixing things. I like upgrading things. I'm kind of like a workaholic, if you didn't gather that already. I love improving. It can't sit still if something's not right. It just bugs me. It just bugs me. But I think it's a double-edged sword because that's what's driven me to create Jazz Piano School and create such a enriched, lively environment that's now absolutely amazing on our 3.0 platform. And so, yeah. But anyway, I'm feeling good. This episode is going to be part two of Sterling's block chord episode. Hopefully you enjoyed part one. If you didn't listen to that, definitely go back and listen to that because it's really, really awesome. So he's going to go deeper now. He's going to continue with part two. Really, really cool stuff. I absolutely love this. So with that being said, here we go.
Hey, everybody. This is Sterling Koza here for jazzpianoschool.com. In this week's podcast video, we've got a continuation of the block chords jazz piano tutorial. Last time we were talking about various techniques that we can use to harmonize the melody for polka dots and moonbeams. And these include various chords, including major six, minor seventh shapes, as well as diminished passing chords. And these all make up the style that was made famous in the 40s and 50s by pianists such as Nat King Cole and George Shearing. So if you missed the first video, I highly encourage you to check that out just for a general review. We're going to be moving on to some more advanced concepts today. So let's get into it. The first concept I'd love to show you today is known as locked hand. And this is a style made famous by George Shearing. He made many recordings with his septet that really, exemplified this style, and it was emulated by a lot of players that came after him. So this style is called locked hand because the melody is going to be locked in between the hands. So if we had a melody like polka dots and moonbeams, notice how my left and right hand are doubling the melody at all times. So this is a very basic way to play locked hand voicings, but once you get comfortable with that, there are really limitless possibilities with where you can take that. So I'll show you what I mean. If our melody is doubled, we can play any kind of chords in between. So notice how I have a little more freedom to move around more melodically. I'm not limited by which chords I'm playing at any given moment. I could be playing chords inside of the key and chords outside of the key. So there are a number of ways to practice this. So the first is going to be just trying different inversions of the chords and seeing where you can move from there. So the first chord we're going to start out with is D minor 7. And so we're going to take these inversions. But watch what happens if I start with this D minor 7 and move my melody around. So notice how I'm really keeping the same few notes in the middle, but just changing the outside. Now there's a little pattern that you can practice with this, and it goes something like this. So we're just using those sort of approach tones for each of our chord notes. And so we're keeping the same notes in between. Or maybe changing the top one there. I kind of like to do that. E to D there. But you can also keep the notes the same. What if we did it with E minor 7? You can add a little grace note here. That's something that George would do a lot. And now you can see we can start to combine the things we've been playing before. We've got these approach notes with our locked hand voicings. And I just threw in a little diminished chord at the end. So these techniques in combination can start to become very expressive. So knowing what we know now with our locked hand voicings, here's an example of the melody of Polka Dots and Moonbeams. Alright, so you can see I'm reaching for some extra things in the melody to apply a little expression in my voicings. Now the last concept I want to show you guys to really get all of the ins and outs of this style of block voicings, and this is something that George and Nat King Cole would do, and this is sort of just a little pattern that can kind of help you in some certain chordal situations, and it's similar to the locked hand style. So what we're going to be doing is doing a sort of a diminished pattern shape. So the chord that we're going to start out with is sort of a diminished major 7. And this might sound familiar to you in the George Shearing or Nat King Cole style. And so this is basically a diminished major shape that we're going to translate up in minor thirds. And that might sound really theoretical, but the melody is really interesting. So all we have here is a four-note chord, diminished major chord. All that is a diminished 7 with a major 7th on top. And we're going to double the top note in our locked hand style. And I like to add a little grace note here for a little more expressiveness. So we went up one minor third, we go up another one, and we can go back down. This is a really cool chord pattern that you can practice in this locked hand style. And as we know in our diminished chords, there are going to be three different versions in each of the three keys. So we did one, and let's call that a B flat diminished major. And we can go up to B. last one would be C diminished major. And there's some variations on that that you can kind of play around with for yourself. But that's the basic framework of sort of that diminished locked hand pattern. So these locked hand techniques can give us a lot of stuff to improvise with, between the diminished passing chords, the locked hand melodies, and the diminished major patterns. And you can really just kind of freestyle in and out of some keys, even if you're playing a tune or if you're just kind of playing in the key of C. So I hope you all have enjoyed this block chords tutorial series, and I hope it gives you some cool ideas of ways that you can use these chords in your improvising and playing melodies, in accompanying, comping for people. These techniques are really pretty useful in a lot of situations. So I hope you enjoyed, and a happy practicing.